everybody, Heidi Show. Welcome to the Heidi Show. It is August 1st. It's the 1st of August. Chat room, Devil's Child wants to know what I'm drinking. Tea, what kind? Darjeeling. It's a Darjeeling. Yeah, I realized I can't really, I have a delay. Like a big one for myself. Weird. Maybe if I lower my camera quality, it will be better. No, I don't have your speakers on. So welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, August 1st. I cannot drink because at some point I'm going to have to go do a pickup with the car. Kind of a bummer. I know, it doesn't really work out for the show so well, because everybody knows I'm slightly more entertaining when I drink. So, it's been a weird week, because I've been yearning to do the show all week, get on the mic, talk, and now today, I seem to have contracted some kind of Colombian sleeping sickness. I say Colombian because I ate Colombian food last night. And that's the only reason that I would say Colombian sleeping sickness. But I appear to be overly fatigued in a very unnatural manner. I've been sleeping, like I slept all night, and I slept most of the day today too. Like I got up around 11:30, had some coffee, did some reading on the internet to see if I could collect some topics for tonight, and then went back to sleep, which is rather disconcerting. I tried to watch that Burn Notice, the show that Heather the Lesbian, a.k.a. Heather the Girl with Arms, had recapped on the voicemail last week. Because I noticed they were having a marathon today. I think it's on. I think it's either USA or TNT, one of those two. And I put it on, and not. I don't think there's anything wrong with the show. I think it's a pretty good show. USA, Deej says USA. Seems like a pretty good show. But there's something wrong with me. One thing I will say for it is I don't think the main guy is appealing. He bothers me, I think. Maybe that's why I couldn't get into it. Something about his face, I think. I just don't care for him very much. I don't know his name. To be honest, I didn't even, like, I wasn't even focused enough on it to walk away with any real impression of what the show is about. Deej says Jeffrey Donovan got popped for DUI a couple weeks ago. He seems like the DUI type. Yeah, maybe that's instinctively what I didn't like about him. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that must be it. Yeah, that's it. So, you know, another week, another show. But of course, unprepared as usual. I don't know. I mean, you know, look, here's the thing. I really did, like, all week want to be doing the show and talking. And when it comes down to it, when it's time to do the show, there's some part of me it's self-defeating. Hi, Jen Jen. Rooster says hi. Jen Jen fucker has entered the room. For some reason, it feels like the week went very quickly. I don't know. I'm just not sure. I just don't know. But anyway, Heidi Show. The voicemail for the Heidi Show, we'd love it if you would leave a voicemail. Who's we? I don't know. Me and the people who listen to the show, I guess. 631-576-4774. Do call us, leave a voicemail. As I said, last week, Heather the Lesbian called in with a recap about Burn Notice on USA. And hello, Haunted Girl. And Deej, you know, Deej calls in each week with a recap of something, and I think more people should do that. I really do. Help me out here, you know? Participate. That's what I want. I want you to participate. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your voices. You know, tell me how much the show sucks, even that would be fine too. I don't mind. I really don't. The email is Heidi, H-E-I-D-E, at theheidishow.com. You can communicate with me this way. And I will do my best to answer your questions, concerns, respond to your comments. Anyway, so first story tonight was sent to me by Jen Jen. None other than Jen Jen Fucker. Australian woman rescued after a week spent trapped between her toilet and the bathroom door. Now, when I originally read this, for some reason, I was thinking of a public stall. I don't know about you guys. Now, men, for the most part, I think, get in and out of public bathrooms without ever having to go into the stall. So it's not probably as common a problem for them. But for me, into those public restrooms, I'm not a fat person by any means. You know, my bra cup is a C. I'm not all out there. I don't think I'm a real big person. And yet I find it almost impossible to get in and out of bathroom stalls without, like, pressing up against the toilet, which I'm loath to do. And so I try not to do that. However, I find that the stall door will sort of hit me straight in the middle of the chest between the tits. And then you have to kind of, like really, like, force your body through the opening. It's a horrible, horrible setup the way they have it. I guess they do that so that the doors don't swing out, so that if you were to bust out of a stall door, you wouldn't, like, slam into someone walking by. But I really think it's a ridiculous way of engineering a bathroom. So I have an issue with it. But that was the first thing I thought of when I saw this story. But then it turns out this is actually her bathroom. So Brisbane, Australia. An Australian woman was rescued after spending a week wedged between her toilet and the bathroom door. Now, it's amazing that a person could even live for a week that way. I think it's like, 3 or 4 days that you can go without water. Yeah, water. But not if she's passed out on the floor, stuck between the toilet and the door, right? Crazy. These Australians, they're so nutty. The 67-year-old woman suffering from dehydration was taken to a hospital after firefighters in the eastern city of Ipswich ended her ordeal Sunday by removing the bathroom door from its hinges. The woman, who is diabetic, was not seriously ill, Rule said. The woman, who has not been named, fell during the early hours of July 19th and somehow became trapped, with her feet stuck on either side of the toilet bowl and her body wedged against the inward opening door. Neighbor Michael Hibbard said he heard her cries for help as he hung his washing in his backyard Sunday morning. He could not open the door to her house and called the police. Thank God for the neighbors. You hate your neighbors, right? Neighbors are a big pain in the ass, I think. But I guess there's a reason we live within earshot of each other. This way, if you fucking can't get up off the bathroom floor and scream long enough. I mean, that's the really fucked up thing, too, is that she was conscious for a week. Conscious, screaming to be helped. Jen Jen says she tried not to picture it, but she just couldn't do it. I tried not to picture it. I tried to picture it, but I just couldn't do it. Jen Jen, help, I've fallen and I can't get up. That's right. All senior citizens should have life alert. There you go. There you go. Hibbard said it was a reminder that people should look out for their neighbors. Correct. Just make a note of their movements and whatnot, he told Australian Broadcasting Corp Radio. If anything becomes a bit off, like you haven't heard or seen them for a week or so, maybe just knock on the door and see if they're okay. Good advice. Good advice. All senior citizens should have life alert. So thank you, Jen Jen, for that very amusing story. Schnikes. Hey, Schnikes. Welcome to the show. The Heidi show. Yes, I'm stuttering. What the fuck, yo? Jen says, I wanted to read it and say thought of you, but that doesn't really sound all that good. Yes, no, it does, though, because, of course, if it's something ridiculous, I'll be interested. But my, that woman. So the neighbor. Wow. Okay, Cockney. Banned from the room. So your neighbors. My neighbors are having a big party across the street right now. And they do that on a regular basis. They have these giant karaoke parties. They run karaoke for bars. Like they... Hey, chick for chick. Hi, Heidi. Hello. I am well. Thank you. They run karaoke machine. Like they take their karaoke around to the different bars, and she has like sort of a, you know, ballad singing voice, so she'll do like a Celine Dion song to get the crowd warmed up. And they're just sort of annoying people. They've kind of taken over like the community government. We have like a, you know, like a neighborhood president and secretary and all that shit, and they've sort of like glommed onto that since moving into the neighborhood. And they're not terribly bright people. They send out a newsletter that's full of like misspellings and just stupid mistakes, like misworded colloquialisms. So they're pretty annoying people. They've got two kind of stupid kids. And Schnikes wants to know if it's an AR dance party. It's definitely an AR karaoke party going over there. They're just kind of obnoxious. So they have these giant parties where my very narrow street is lined with the cars of their guests, who seem to stay all night, who seem to come early and leave the next day. I mean, it's so ridiculous, these parties that they have. And I don't like them. I don't like them as people. And you can hear their awful karaoke singing throughout the neighborhood. You can see the big screen with the karaoke lettering on it through the windows in the front of the house. It's a joke. It's a fucking joke. I was leaving my house the other day and looking into their house. I had my kid in the car with me and I said, lights are on at Douchebag Central. That's what I call my neighbor's house. Douchebag Central. But here's the thing. I guess if there were crisis, I'd want them to keep an ear out for me screaming in my house. Enough said. That's what your neighbors are for. That and dumping dog shit on your front step. I've had neighbors do that. Not these people. But people. People did that. Am I angry? I don't know what's going on here. I have some kind of sleeping illness. I can't seem to wake up today. I just keep going back to sleep. And I'm really tired right now as well. And I took a shower thinking maybe that would like pep me up a little bit. Yeah, no, just made me more tired. Yeah, made me more tired. So, let's see, this week, I had read the Twilight book, the first Twilight book by Stephanie Meyer. And I have to be honest, if you're a, you know, self-respecting adult, no offense, Deej, but it's really not something that grown-ups have any business reading. Now, Harry Potter, I realize, is intended for children, but there's a little bit more, I think, depth to it. Twilight basically comes down to, you know, like a teenage girl's fantasy. You know what I'm saying? It's not, I almost felt like this is very cute for my, right, Deej didn't read them. You listened to the books on tape, right? Which, oh my God, that chick's voice on the book on tape, oh my God, like horrible. It was so poorly done. Terrible. Schneike's saying that I should sneak next door to the big karaoke party, get some free snacks and beer, and maybe sing Power of Love real quick. It's a curious thing. Makes one man weep, makes another man sing. But, no, they'd totally fucking bust me if I went over there. Actually, they'd be all probably all excited because somebody in the neighborhood wants to be friends with them. I think it's a posturing thing a little bit. I think they want to make a display of their own popularity and how many friends they have. And the kids sort of brag about it to my kid. Did you see how many cars were outside my house? We had a huge party. People didn't leave till the next day. Good for you, stupid. I don't know. I'm not bitter or anything. So what was I saying? Oh, so Twilight. Yeah. So I read the Twilight book and, you know, mildly entertaining, but it's a, you're really indulging your teenage girl when you read that book. So, after I put that down, then I picked up, the first Sookie Stackhouse book, the True Blood series on HBO. Okay, I don't have it in front of me. But now that's a little bit more of a meaty read. But again, almost bordering on romance novel. You know what I'm saying? Good stuff, well written. I'm into vampires and all that, so it's interesting for me. But you got to keep in mind, I put down Infinite Jest midstream and then started reading these incredibly simplistic novels in comparison. And while it's a pleasant experience, it's not quite as intellectually stimulating. This, on the other hand, I just picked up yesterday. If you can see what I have here. Dun, dun, dun. Yes, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. It's the classic Jane Austen novel, Pride and Prejudice, with the zombies added on. And I'm up to chapter 3, which I read standing up the first two chapters because I was like, oh, let me just take a look at how this starts. And the next thing I knew, I was 12 pages in. So very, very excellent book. And yeah, the cover art is fucking awesome. I don't know if you could tell the color so much, but her eyes are like red. Really cool. Really cool. And instantly sucked in. And it's got illustrations in it, which of course, you know, everybody loves to have some pictures in their book. Lots of zombie flesh eating action, which as you know, will be, exciting for me. And, this is the inside the cover art, which I also really enjoy. So anyway, that's exciting. I'm very excited to have, this book in hand, and it's really fulfilling all my needs. What else happened this week? I don't know. Okay, I'm starting to perk up a little bit. Maybe the radio show is just what I needed to get me going. Maybe a little pot would help. Yeah, pot. Oh, there's so much. Actually, I do have a bit to talk about. The other thing that's going on with me right now is I'm doing a series, a marathon, if you will, on Netflix of Akira Kurosawa samurai movies. I had only ever heard about them, but now I've committed to watching as many of them as possible. So far I've only watched two. The first one was Rashomon, which was really awesome. Sick cinematography. It was like 1950 this movie came out, and just unheard of methods in cinematography. Great stuff, awesome. And then Ron, which is one of his most famous works, was really long too. It was like almost 3 hours long, but that's sort of his take on Shakespeare's King Lear. Really dramatic, really well done, beautiful costumes, color, all that stuff. Like cool ass shit. So I've got, let's see, Throne of Blood, which is his version of Macbeth. Ikiru. And one other one I have that I can't think of the name of now. But so that's going well and very interesting, and I feel like my daughter and I are getting an education in Japanese cinematography, which is exciting. And like I said, I wonder if I'll actually pick up some Japanese by watching them. 'Cause that's a lot of movies, 'cause that's a lot of movies to watch in Japanese with subtitles. Emo Tony B has just entered the room. He was in Philly today. And glad to have you here. Un momento, por favor. So last week there was some douchebag in the chat room, and Emo, in his fervor to block this asshole from, sort of flaming the chat room, they would come in and go, come in and go, and so every time Emo would go to block the guy. He would end up, he was blocking other people from the room. So I kind of went around and did a little damage control and all. And then there was this other asshole who was posing as Tyler Big T, like made a subtle change in spelling in order to make it look like it was Tyler Big T exactly, and was coming in and saying all this fucked up like pedophile stuff. And being a douchebag, and I managed to block that person, but it might have been the same person. And I suspect it's that douchebag pure Brad that thinks he knows, like everything about radio. I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's one person with just a bunch of different fucking usernames. It's fucked up. So T. So let's see what else. Oh, also I got where's my iTunes? iTunes, where are you? I got the comedian Pat Dixon has a CD out. Let me go ahead and find him here, Pat Dixon. What the fuck? Oh, here he is. His CD, Goodbye Forever Fatty. That's the album cover right there. I got that today and listened to it, and I'm gonna play a couple of clips from that for you. If I can turn this volume up first. This I thought was pretty funny. Make sure it's not on. He starts talking about women in a derogatory fashion, and it's like pissing off everybody in the audience, but he doesn't seem to care, and he seems to manage the fact that they're not fucking laughing very well. But I think it's hilarious. Pat Dixon, everybody.
Week.
No! Oh, for fuck's sake, why? Yeah, I don't really care for iTunes very much as a player.
Almost had a female candidate. Wow, that would have been pretty interesting, right? A female president. You guys think we should have a female president? I don't really know. I'll be honest, I'm a little ambivalent about it. I don't know some clients. I don't know if we, really, to be honest with you, I don't even know if women should be voting. I'm just saying. I don't know if they should be voting. Does anybody know history here? Right. Women got the right to vote in what year? 1920. What happened right after that? The Great Depression. That's right. And then what? A few years later, World War II. Thank you, ladies. Then the Holocaust. Good one. And Kennedy got shot. Great. Good job. And then. Fucking look at the dollar. The 80s, the Pet Shop Boys. Parachute pants. All this shit happened after you guys got the right to vote. These are facts. Okay, you guys don't really seem to be with me. You don't agree with me that I'm sure you'll agree with me on this. When a woman runs for president, it's a lot like when a dog walks on its hind legs. Sure, it's cute. I'm not going to argue with her. It's cute. But that doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it natural. And then after a minute of it, it gets a little creepy, you know? Like a dog walking on its hind legs. After a minute, you're like, fucking cut that shit out, man. Doesn't it creep you out when a dog walks around on its hind legs for too long? You're like, okay, enough. We get it. Man. A dog is not a man, and a woman is not a man. And, thank you. Look, I'm not... It's not that I hate women, okay? I just love this country. I'm not a misogynist, I'm a patriot. You're really irritated, right? Yes. 20% of the girls hate the black people. Okay. Well, that's not bad. I know women have the brains, right? Is that what you get? You're always women think, oh, women have the brains. That's all right, I'll keep my dick. I can't fuck you in the ass with my brain. I did a show for the blind. And it was at this rec center, this blind rec center called Visions.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut it off like that. That was lame of me. Anyway, comedian Pat Dixon, everybody, check him out, www.comedianpatdixon.com. It's a great, great CD. I highly, highly recommend checking it out. Get it if you like comedy. Buy the CD. It's got 34 tracks, and I was LOLing at it today, and I'm only about halfway through. Pat Dixon. I'd like to call him a friend, but really, it's more like I spent a little bit of time with him, and I think we'd probably bang each other. I think that's what it comes down to. So I guess not so much friends, but more, you know, he'd probably bang me. Because I think I'm flattering myself by saying we're friends. You know what I'm saying? No, not even fuck pals. Like, I met the guy. He knows who I am, if you ask him. Obviously, I know who he is. Fucking, you know, we're all friended up on the Facebook and the following each other's tweets and whatnot. But I guess to say he's my friend is a little bit presumptuous. I think that his interest in me is purely as someone who might be willing to bang him. Which I don't know, you know, probably because I had him on Chaos and flirted a little bit and acted like I was interested. You know, when we were trying to trick people into thinking I was single. Because that's really cool to do. That's really cool to mislead people and make them think that your flirting actually means something. Just like a woman. Emo Tony B says, just like a woman being a tease. Exactly. Exactly. A douchebag fucking tease. It is mean. It absolutely is mean. And I felt terrible about it afterwards. I thought that was really misleading of me. I posed as a single woman flirting with him. What kind of asshole am I? You know, ironically, that you know, not to give the person any more power than they should get, and not to bring it up again, but that guy who came in and was like saying how. I'm probably on Xanax and a handful of other antidepressants or something to that effect. Ironically, I'm on nothing. And you would think that maybe I am the type of person who would be. But I'm proud to say, actually, that I'm not prescription medicated. But anyway, that Pat Dixon thing, I think he was kind of like half bombing because the men were afraid to laugh. And Pat turns it into part of the bit. The fact that he's bombing and he's not really bombing, he fucking completely turned it around. He's a really good comedian. I think he's very cool. So the other night I had a dream, and I woke up, and occasionally I have these extremely erotic dreams, like extremely, like crazy off the chain, like crazy sexy dreams. But you know, sometimes there's just like a little bit of weirdness in it, like shit that you would never intentionally fantasize about. When it comes to you later, you're like, ugh, what the fuck? Where did that shit come from? Literally shit. So I don't remember the dream at all until I am in my office the next day. And for some reason, I'm looking down at my fingernails and I'm thinking, wow, you know, I've been trying to keep them real short lately because I'm not having sex with anyone. And so I occasionally get into like these crazy horny moods where I'm having some insane masturbatory session and you never know what the fuck I'm going to do to myself. So I try to keep my nails real short. You know what I'm saying? So, So I'm looking down at my nails thinking, oh, they're getting a little long. I should really cut them. And instantly, not just a flash of the dream, but like a full on like memory washed over me. Of the dream from the night before that I was violently fingering a guy's ass. Like, not violently, but, like, very aggressively and roughly. And that I pulled my hand out of his ass and was, like, horrified to see that my nails weren't as short as I thought they were. And there was some poop stuck under my fingernail in the dream. Not in real life. I'm saying in the dream, I was like, oh, fuck, I got some shit under there and, like, picked the shit out from under my fingernail. In my dream. What? I mean, I'm not into that. Did he like it? I think it was something like it was something that I had to do for some reason. Who am I? What the hell is wrong with me? Indeed. Emo asks, who are you? I'm some kind of crazy man-ass fingering asshole. And I had shit under my finger. Oh, that was for the weirdo that just PM'd you. Okay. Well, you know what? It worked in the chat also. Who am I? Yeah. And then last night, I had a dream that I was responsible for some big fucking ship, like ship with sails, and there was all these passengers on it and like crazy waves and water coming in, and me and my dad were responsible for you know, getting the ship to wherever it was supposed to go. And I'm pretty sure that neither of us had the right like knowledge to do so. It was a really scary, scary dream that I was responsible for people and I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. But I mean, it's very telling, isn't it? I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. I really have no business even doing a radio show. It's kind of weird. It's kind of weird to do a solo radio show when you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But you know, let's keep in mind, the show is intended solely as entertainment. This is not a news source. You can quote me, though. That would be okay. Schneikes had a dream he was on Miami Vice. That's cool. Unless you're, you know. Well, I guess it's cool if it's the first half of the show and you're the drug dealer. Because then you're probably driving a speedboat really, really fast. And you probably have, like, at least three big-tittied women in bikinis hanging around you. Drinking. You know what I'm saying? So that's not a bad dream. I wouldn't want to be Tubbs, though. I also wouldn't want to be Edward James Olmos, the captain, that police captain, because, boy, he has some sick-ass coffee cake face. And I don't think he was getting any ass, either. Googie Bear had a dream that he was being molested by a frog in a hot tub. Like a real frog, like a regular-sized frog? Was there, like, a frog in the hot tub, like, sucking your dick? Or, like, trying to, like, put his little frog foot up your ass? Yeah, he was all hoppy. He was all hoppy. He was hopping all over you, tweaking your nipples. Poking you in the eyes. Yes! Yes, everybody! So I finally went back to the Lunatic Radio message boards today and had completely forgotten that in a drunken state on the show, I had no Frodo. That a drunken state on the show, I had changed my signature on their board to Kieran as a kitty fiddler. And I think I'm the only one who did it. So I feel a little bit like a jerk. Because I think we agreed we were all going to do it. Kidding, just kidding. Anyway, the things you do on the internet, drinking. The things you do. We were all going to change our signatures to Kieran is a kitty fiddler to try to make him paranoid. But, yeah, so I was the only one who did it. Yeah. It's funny to talk about people who you know will never listen to the show. otherwise, I mean, you know, it's all in good fun. I'd love to call them friends. Yes, Googie Bear. You should still do that. You should. Oh, I opened a beer and I had almost completely forgotten all about it. Beer. You know, I was going to say, I thought I had not gotten emails other than Jen Jen's email with that awesome bathroom story. But now I realize, no, I did. I did. I got an email from Heather the Lesbian. That I should read to you, and then maybe I'll play a little Pat Dixon, a little more Pat Dixon first. Something good, though. What did we like about it? Oh, this was good.
I married very young myself. I married a girl I met in high school, married my high school sweetheart, you know. You marry your high school sweetheart, it's kind of like you said, you know what, I've looked all over the school. And it didn't work out between us. Here's how I found out that we were going to be splitting up. I was going to get a tattoo of her on my arm. She goes, I wouldn't do that. So I didn't. Anybody here engaged? How about that? Anybody here? Oh, how nice. The woo over here will do you. When... Yeah. Oh, yes. Your bachelorette party now. Huh? Yeah. No, it's nothing personal. I just don't talk to you fucking people. If I look over and you have a necklace made out of little penises on, I can't.
It's a shot glass.
Yeah. So where was the other one? Where was the other? There was another engagement. I saw somebody pointing. Oh, over here. Okay, what about you? When's your big day?
August 9th.
August coming right up. Wonderful. How about you guys over here? Big day. Is it me? It's me, right? I'm hearing shit that's not really going on. I love it when they don't set a date. That cracks me up, you know? You know those kind of engagements, right? I'm like, we're engaged. When do you guys get married? We don't really know. That makes a statement. That's like, I want to spend the rest of my life with you, but not yet.
Hey, Heidi Show, everybody. I was just playing some Pat Dixon from his new CD, Goodbye Forever, Fatty. Check it out. Check out his website, www.comedianpatdixon.com. If I had any balls, I would have just asked Pat to be on the show tonight, call in, so I could do an interview. But me do an interview? No. I'm far too full of self-doubt and loathing to do an interview. Ultimately, the goal would be to incorporate some quasi-celebrity interviews, but I don't seem to have the balls for it. I don't seem to have the balls for it. I'd like to dip my balls in it. Speaking of which, I heard that recently that the entire state, the comedy troupe, the series that was on it, what was it, MTV that it was on that it aired? Way back when, I think that that whole series is now released on DVD, which is very cool because it's really hard to find episodes of The State. It was an elusive little treat, and you know, all of them have done projects since then. They had that Viva Variety, that for some reason I insisted upon calling Viva Variety. much to the amusement of Uncle Crops. They had that, which was okay. And, you know, Reno 911, obviously. The movie I thought was really funny, but the show I never was quite able to get into. But The State was a really, really good a comedy sketch group. And, you know, I mean, I'm a big Kids in the Hall fan also. And Monty Python. But I think it's hard to find a good one. And I think that as far as comedy troupes go, comedy sketch troupes, it's Monty Python, Kids in the Hall, The State. And Emo says, me and you really do have the same sense of humor. We really do. We really do. That's part of our bond. That and the fact that we're Opie and Anthony listeners. I don't know if you still are, but. I'm just getting back into them now with a new ear, because I've decided to allow my kid to start listening to them. Yeah, which is kind of fucked up. If they start talking about anything like explicitly, like explicit sexual acts, then, you know, clearly that's not something that I'm sharing with her. But just their general banter. I started out with Ron and Fez, actually, and found that she responds much more to Opie and Anthony. She laughs out loud at them a lot more, and, like, she's interested in what they're talking about, and she asks me, you know, for, like, background on, like, what, you know, what are they talking about here? So while I'm a big Ron and Fez fan, she seems to be more partial to Opie and Anthony. Googie Bear wants to know, so who else has changed their signature to Kieran is a kitty toucher? Kitty Fiddler. Those were your words that you suggested we used. Kieran is a kitty fiddler. Go ahead. Go there now. www.lunaticradio.com. If you're not a member of the forum, join and make your signature. Kieran is a kitty fiddler. Let's just see. He's not going to find it funny, probably, but we would. But we would. So what else? What else? This is what I was going to do. Email. We love to get your emails. Send me emails to HeidiAtTheHeidiShow.com. So I got an email from Heather the Lesbian. Heather, the girl with arms. On MySpace, everybody. She says, firstly, my brain felt the need to tell you that, fuck, you got a sexy voice, which is always nice to hear. And then I felt the need to giggle about you singing a Spice Girls song and telling again, see, so she's calling me out on the fact that I fucking repeat myself. And telling again how many times you saw the movie, you make me feel better about myself. Mm-hmm. And then you confess that you once upon a time wrote fanfic for Young Guns. You are seriously like my nerd fantasy. It's too bad you went all blonde now. See, not everyone likes the blonde. I realize that. And ultimately, it'll be dark again. But I think I'm going to keep it short for a while. I'm a big fan of the short hair. I feel more like myself with short hair. For some reason, with the long hair, I'm just really never satisfied with my image. But the short. Yeah, I'm talking about my image. Like I have an image. I have an image to uphold. The male cat is finding something really compelling about the flavor of the female cat's ass tonight. He's had his nose in her ass repeatedly now, which is lovely to look at. Thanks, Googie Bear. Iku Googie Bear. Mwah, 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 mwah. Oh, yes. Pat Robertson gets so much hate mail for being such a douchebaggy, douchey dickhead that he has his own zip code. Yes. My mom used to work at the university he owns, which was next to CBN, which at that point owned the Family Channel, but then ABC bought it and eventually Disney bought ABC, so now Disney owned the Family Channel and you get fucked up kid shows like that American Teenager bullshit. Right. Well said. And this show on Disney where the uber smart chick who got awesome grades decided she wanted to be goth for a bit. So she dressed all gothy and she got some horrible grade. She bitched at the teacher and some shit. She went back to being all preppy, and then the teacher told her there was a misunderstanding and gave her a perfect grade on whatever it was. What the fuck hell does that teach kids? No comment. Yeah, it's teaching kids that if you toe the line and, you respect, society and social norms, that you get further in life and that it doesn't pay to stand out and express yourself. Okay. So we're not going to do that. That's it for the fucked up banning. Schneikes. I know who it was. No more of that now. That's it. That's enough. And Schneikes, the thing is that I can restore all. I didn't realize I can unblock any username that has been blocked by going to that user page. I know he banned you, Lexis, but you know what? To be fair, you asked for it in the first place. You begged to be banned, and that's what started the ball rolling. Truth be told. But you know what? Maybe we'll just have him. Maybe we'll just have him Skype in at this point if he feels up to it. Oh, that Cockney Tony. Oh, that Cockney Tony. Un momento, por favor. Let's take a little break. You wait. Yes, I can't even get a break going.
Check it out, bitch. See, sometimes you gotta realize where you are in your life in order to feel good. I feel good, baby. Listen to me. Walk in the club with a bunch of thugs. Modify your brain so they call me drugs. See 100 girls, get 1,000 hugs. One's in my ear talking about the tugs. She likes me. She say she needs me. She say she wants me. Cause I'm the shit. She says she likes me. She say she needs me. She wants to see me. Cause I'm the shit. Now it seems that things are really getting better in my life. Is it just today or things are really getting better? We'll see tonight. We'll see tonight. Hey, little girl, what
the tattooed thigh. Baby, you look like a slice of pie. Hope my style don't cause you fear. Matter of fact, baby, where you going from here? Kiss on me, baby. Lick on me, baby. But you can't own me, baby. Cause I'm the shit. Kiss on me, baby. Lick on me, baby. But you can't own me, baby. Cause I'm the shit.
Now it seems that things are really getting better in my life. Is it just today or things are really getting better? We'll see tonight. We'll see tonight. Now it seems that things are really getting better in my life. Is it just today or things are really getting better?
What is up? Said I was a nerd, but I ain't a punk. If you talk shit, be prepared to thump. Plus Terrence 4-4, prepare to dump. Watch out, boy. Get back then. Watch how you're acting. Cause I'm the shit. I'm telling you, watch it now. Tell your boys to get back then. Watch how y'all acting. Cause we the shit.
Now it seems that things are really getting better.
What's up, babe?
Oh, God, look at his nose. Oh, my God, I don't know what to say. I like big noses. Big
hey.
Noses for me on.
Hey, nice head.
Oh, he said he likes my head. What about my head? Oh, it's cute.
Word, you're listening to The Heidi Show. Welcome to The Heidi Show. Hey, everybody. Hey. So, a little bit of beer helps. You know, only about halfway through the can, but already I feel a major change. Major. I wonder what happened to Cockney Tony. He's not in the room. As far as I know. Let's see. So I just feel like, my God, I can't stay on topic here. So a few weeks ago, you may recall, it was one of the shows I had Chris from Cringe Humor on, and we were talking about, Arturo Gatti, and it had appeared as though he was murdered. And there was some speculation here at the Heidi Show about who might have murdered him and what their motive might have been. And ultimately, his wife was arrested for killing him with the strap of her purse because they found the marks from her purse strap, like imprinted on his neck. So, you can imagine my shock when I saw this headline: "Death of Boxer Arturo Gatti Ruled Suicide." Brazilian authorities on Thursday ruled the death of former world boxing champion Arturo Gatti a suicide. Gatti's death initially had been investigated as a murder. The boxer's widow, Amanda Karina Barbosa Rodriguez. Oh, I think that's Mr. No? Okay, that was weird. Sorry, where was I? Amanda Karina Barbosa Rodriguez, who had been arrested as a suspect, was released from jail Thursday, the newspaper O Diario de Pernambuco reported. Her lawyer, Celino Avalino, argued that it would have been impossible for her to suspend and hang a man of that size. For her to suspend and hang. I mean, that wasn't the impression that I got, just that she'd choked him out. Why would she have to have suspended him? Gatti was found dead on July 11th in a rented condo in Brazil, where he was taking a vacation with Rodriguez and their young child. Police found strangulation marks on Gatti's neck and a blood-stained purse strap at the scene. The Public Safety Ministry of the Northeastern Pernambuco State said investigators determined that Gatti hanged himself in a stairwell. Police official Paulo Alvarez said Gatti used the purse strap to end his life. So, yeah. Weird. Killed himself. Weird. Weird. Dude, that's weird. And then this other stupid bullshit with Obama inviting this black Harvard professor and the cop who arrested him in his home, inviting them for that beer summit. I don't know. I mean, are things getting ridiculous or is it just me? And that we had to be in such detail about what beer everybody wanted. And like they had to order their beer in advance. And the fucking cop had to order a fucking Blue Moon, which is like shitty beer anyway. It's like, yeah, I want to act like I'm really into this microbrew, and it's not a fucking microbrew at all. It's a Hefeweizen, but it's like owned by one of the major bottling companies. Deej says it is brewed there in Colorado. I just really, it's not, you know, if you really know beer, you're not going to be terribly impressed by the Blue Moon. And it's really sort of a poser move. Like, what kind of point was he trying to make? Really, that's the kind of beer you enjoy? And, you know, on top of it, what if one of them was in AA? Well, they're going to order a fucking, I don't know, who makes a good non-alcoholic beer? St. Pauli girl? Somebody. Heineken, maybe? No. I've got one in my fridge. I don't know what it is. But still, no, O'Doul's is piss. There's definitely better non-alcoholic beers than O'Doul's. But, yeah, I just thought that was kind of fucking stupid. And they were not allowed to rehash the event. It was supposed to be a constructive meeting. And what came out of it was that they amicably agreed to disagree on the matter. Really? That's what this fucking big deal resulted in? You know, if the guy wasn't complying with the cop and felt that he was already guarded because he felt he was being racially profiled. But if a cop doesn't know what the fuck is going on, even just because a person tells them that it's their home that they were seen breaking into, Why should a cop take the dude's word for it? And if the cop is telling him to do something and then arrests him as a result, it's because it's dangerous when people don't do what the cops tell them to do. You know, I understand the indignation, you know, and, you know, you're in your own home, the nerve, right? But then for the president to turn around and say that the cop acted stupidly, that's like a really, that's a really fucking fucked up, dangerous ground to walk out onto, for someone who's not a cop and has never been a cop. And I'm not all about cops. I'm just saying. But the result is they agreed to disagree. They agreed to disagree. Come on. Don't come here for your news, people, because, truth be told, I really don't even know the whole story. I'm just talking out my ass once again. Let's hear your voicemails, shall we? I guess I thought that the Cockney would have called in by now. Sorry, I'm a little bit distracted. Oh, it's always something, isn't it? And you know, one of these weeks, I will get my shit together. But clearly, not this week.
Hey, hi, it's Mr. Deej here with his recap of...
Wait a minute. Mr. Deej! Leave me voicemail, Mr. Deej. Love to hear from Mr. Deej. Call me anytime, Mr. Deej. He's cool! His name is Mr. Deej.
Of the week. This week I am recapping another classic favorite of mine from 1987, The Monster Squad.
Okay, very good, Deej. I like this trend that we're on now. Last week it was The Wizard, which people in the chat room seemed fairly enthusiastic about, reminiscing about The Wizard, and I added it to my Netflix queue. And now this week, The Monster Squad. I seem to have a vague recollection of this film.
Now, you can't go wrong with a movie that involves monster hunters, Dracula, the Wolfman, the Gillman, the Mummy, and Frankenstein's monster, can you?
No, Deej, you cannot.
Well, how about if the monster hunters is led by a bunch of 12-year-olds?
What?
The movie focuses on 12-year-old Sean Crenshaw and his buddies that are monster fanatics. Love Stephen King and all that he writes and all his stuff. So the movie's pretty much them, and they like to talk monsters when Dracula comes to town.
Uh-oh.
I
sense a theme. There's a lot of vampire shit going on. Did I ever tell you how when I was a little kid, I used to sleep with the blankets? I would fold the top of the blanket over my fingers, and then I would make my clench my fist. Hello, Chuck B. And then I would take my fist and I would jam it up underneath my jaw like this, so that if a vampire were to enter my sleeping chamber, I would at least have my neck covered. And as Emo points out, yes, I've told you that, because I'm a piece of repeating shit.
For this Aimlet to take over the world, and he enlists the help of the Gillman and the Mummy and the Wolfman to help him get this amulet and try to take over the world. The only monster that's on their side is Frankenstein's monster, which one of the Monster Squad leaders' little sister is good friends with, because, well, she's just wholesome and innocent. This movie has a lot of comedy, trying to find a virgin and finding out the 16 or 17-year-old girl ain't one already. So it is a very funny movie, very cheesy, but like The Wizard, back in 1987, cheesy was funny. I recommend this if you want a good laugh and if you like cheesy monster movies. That's...
I do. I do like cheesy monster movies.
That's it for me. Have a great show. Bye.
Thanks, Deej. Bye. And then we've got a Rooster.
It's the Cockney. Cockney Tony. He's British and full of baloney. It's the Cockney. Cockney Tony. He takes pills up his butt.
Okay, so a little variation on the Copacabana. Rooster calling in with a proposed theme song for Cockney Tony. I like it. I like it. I think I need to split it up. I think I need to split it from the Deej call and turn that into a... Yes. Why is he saying I'm good whenever you... Just fucking call me. I'm waiting. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, I think it's up to that point in the show. I think I've had the opportunity to, Cockney Tony, you're on the line.
Good evening.
Good evening. Wow, you sound a little, worse
delicate.
For wear. Delicate? Yeah, a little bit delicate.
I haven't been in bed yet from yesterday. Good times, though. All good.
So what's this? Like, you put something about snorting vodka?
Yes. Oh, we've been snorting vodka all afternoon. It's fucking difficult, you know, because the second it hits your nose, you just have this gag reflex, and it's just hard to get it all in there. But it's it does the job. It works.
I would imagine so, but I mean vodka. Drinking vodka gets the job done too, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, but we was all high and just...
You just really needed something to put up your nose at that point.
Yeah,
and vodka was the best option. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you hear Rooster's theme song for you?
Yeah, it was nice.
It was, right?
Yeah.
So maybe we'll use that as your theme song.
Excellent.
And then I was thinking I was going to do something with the, I don't know, did you hear the first song that I played, the Crystal Method song?
No.
Okay.
I think I was setting up then.
Okay. The first song that I played in the beginning of the show. I was thinking about taking audio from last week's show where you were, you know, really, really fucked up on drugs and like rambling incoherently. Okay. Like taking that and trying to put that into that, like that techno song. And using that like as your intro, but I think we'll just keep that as a bumper.
Mm-hmm. Cockney remix.
Mm-hmm. That's
my first ever remix. Ace.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Okay.
So, I don't know about snorting vodka though, dude. That's a little bit extreme for me.
I'll stick some videos up on YouTube and I'll stick one on the Lunatic Radio website as soon as I get around to uploading them off my phone and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite funny. I don't think there's any of me, but of my mates. They're fucking idiots.
Oh, funny. So you're not on the video?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately. It fucking hurt, though.
I would imagine. You're really not supposed to do that. I don't know if you know.
You got to what, say?
You shouldn't do that.
No, I know. I'm not going to do it again.
Okay. I guess, you know, I just worry. And I don't want to come off seeming like some, you know, prude
douchebag. Okay, Mom.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's just that I care for you and I don't want to see you hurt.
I know. I'm fine. Don't worry.
All right.
Okay, so we had some friends come up and visit us yesterday.
Okay.
Fluffy and Judson. And
now, Fluffy is Doris's friend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And she was actually the pen pal that I started to write to. So yes, we all got a big fat mass.
Mm-hmm.
And about 8 o'clock this morning, the fire alarms started going off, like the smoke alarms. And like Doris was like, "What's going on? What's going on? Why are they going off?" I was like, "I don't know. Has someone been cooking?" Like, "No." So she went, "Oh right, they're just fucked. They must be just fucked." So it was like we've wafting them and everything. And then we looked at the one in the hallway in the landing,
mm-hmm.
and it was just dripping with water. right? So shit. So we both ran upstairs.
Yeah.
And someone had left the tap on in the bathroom.
Oh, you're kidding.
And just flooded the entire fucking bathroom. It was a fucking disaster area. Right. So F1 got kicked out then. And Mucker wasn't too happy. He was like,
yeah, I would imagine, right?
Which is, it's fair enough. So we all leave, go back to mate Freya's house and carry on partying and whatnot. And then we come back here with mate Pirate Nick. And he goes upstairs to the toilet.
Your mate Pirate Nick?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so he goes upstairs to the toilet, and I was winding him up all night, saying, like, yeah, you did it, you fucking flooded us, you're a cunt, rah.
Right.
So just breaking his balls and whatnot.
Yeah.
And, so he came back down, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then my housemate Emma came down and went, look, I just went in the bathroom after whoever else was in there, just to check, just to make sure. And the fucking tap had been left on again.
Again.
Yeah, I was like, dude, you fucking cunt. So I fucking kick him out of my house. Fucking arsehole. It was just at the beginning of your show that happened. So it's fucking...
Oh, just tonight? Oh, that's what you were saying that happened to you.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it, though. He fucking did it again. I mean, it flooded the house, you know what I mean?
That's dripping really down that's the fucked up.
What a cunt. I mean, he's a nice guy. Yeah. I call him Rick. Although I know his name's Nick.
Oh, okay.
It fucking winds the fuck out of him.
That's great.
Brilliant.
So, like, you kick him out, where does he go?
Oh, they went round to Slade Hall. It was him, Freya, and Milky. I don't know his name. He looks albino.
I see.
So I call him Milky. But they went round to Slade Hall, which is like a massive party house. They went there, so it was all good. I mean, idiot.
Yeah, you fell in the Atlantic.
But that's the way it goes. Oh, did I fall in the water again?
Well, I mean, at least you caught it this time, and you have a massive flood again, right?
Oh,
so is Mucka like the dad of the house? He like
the old man of the house.
He's like the old curmudgeon.
Yeah. Probably like moody if he don't get his fucking 18 hours sleep a day and whatnot.
That's kind of how I am though.
Yeah. I just think fuck it. If you get woken up, you get woken up. No point in being all ballsy about it. You're just awake.
I had like. Some ridiculous sleepy thing today. You haven't slept. Maybe it's some kind of weird transferal. Like, you haven't slept, and so I couldn't do anything but sleep. No, you don't think so?
Yeah, maybe. No, I don't.
All
right,
great.
I'm trying to keep my voice down as well, because I got told off last week for being too loud.
Yeah, I realize that.
So it's a bit more laid back, Cockney.
It's a little bit laid back, yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I had that audio ready to play because I really want you to hear it.
What audio?
You last week on
drugs.
Oh,
me.
Yeah.
Oh. I forgot all about that, and then you reminded me, and it was like, I don't remember that. Shit.
Yeah, I know. Well, it doesn't surprise me in the least that you wouldn't remember that.
Yeah. It's all good. So, what you got planned? What's the show topics?
Well, I've pretty much covered all the show topics.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The thing is, I don't know, at some point I'm going to have to go, I think. So I was trying to, first of all, I was trying to squeeze in as much as possible before getting you on the phone because I figured things sort of fall apart.
Yeah.
So they sort of deteriorate into whatever it is that you and I end up chatting about. Which is fine, but then I get all frustrated when the stuff that I've prepared I don't get to. I know what I was saving here. So everybody, you know, when you think of those guards at Buckingham Palace, you always picture the guys with the big
guards.
Furry. Yeah, the beef eaters, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But now something else. Did you see that?
The what?
They changed it. Now there's blue turban Sikhs.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Queen Elizabeth II has switched bearskin hats for turbans outside Buckingham Palace, where Sikh soldiers have begun guarding the monarch and her treasures. Britain's defense ministry said Friday. Signaller Simranjit Singh and Lance Corporal Sarvjit Singh are the first Sikhs to take part in patrols outside the Queen's residence and to stand watch over the crown jewels at the Tower of London across town.
Well, they should just fucking... I mean, it's traditional. They should just fuck their religion off.
Yes, a little... Well, I don't know, but it's a little bit weird to see...
Without a big beefy bearskin hats on.
Yeah, and I mean, they're carrying, like, semi-automatic rifles.
Well, yeah. I mean,
which I guess is normal, but it just looks, do. It's just so weird when you're so accustomed to seeing one image and then to have it change to blue turbans. They look kind of badass. Actually, I gotta be honest with you. I'm a little bit more intimidated by these guys.
Emo in chat room said the queen is outsourcing.
Yeah, the queen is outsourcing. Let's see. Guard duties are usually carried out by the Guards of Household Division, famed for their bearskin hats and crimson coats that attract picture-taking tourists in their thousands. The ministry said the Sikh soldiers instead wore turbans and blue uniforms. Other army regiments often help carry out guard duties at Britain's Buckingham Palace when the Household Division is on operations. Now, really, on operations, where are those beefeater guys going? With those hats.
They've got to weigh a lot, you know.
What do you mean?
The hat.
The hat, yeah.
Must get so sweaty head.
I know, insane. And people are such dicks. let's see, the ministry said the two soldiers are the first of the 90 Sikhs in Britain's army to be handed the task. It's purely a coincidence that this happened now. It almost feels like they had to, like, step up the security for some reason that only they know, and mm-hmm. that these Sikhs are like, you know, a little bit more like equipped, trained.
For... Keep your enemies close.
Well, I guess you could say that. Sarjvit Singh, who was born in India and is a member of 3 Regiment Army Air Corps, said he was thrilled to have had the opportunity to guard the Queen. My experience being a Sikh on the Queen's Guard is beyond words, said the 28-year-old. It is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I feel privileged to have this honor. Being in London and parading in front of hundreds of people has been brilliant. Being Sikh hasn't made any difference.
Good for him.
Yeah, I guess so. It's just, you know, it's just one of those things that, like, you're so accustomed your whole life to seeing one thing, and then they change it, and it's like, wow, that's fucking weird, man.
What's he wearing? Just like a turban thing?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, couldn't he just wear the turban and put the hat over the top of it still?
But that's not what that's not the unit that they belong to. They're not the Household Division of Buckingham Palace.
Right, okay.
So this is their uniform. And I think, you know, I mean, well, that turban is part of who they are.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, the bearskin hat is part of what the guards are. You know, the tourists go there to see the guards in the bearskin hat.
Yeah, that's true. They don't say anything about the reaction to it.
Yeah, but, I mean, can you imagine the uproar if, like, they got turned down for being the guard because they refused to wear because of their religion?
Oh, yeah.
So it'd be nonsense. It's political correctness gone mad. Wow, I am laid back, anyway.
Oof. You sure are. I was expecting something much different with the amount of drinking that you've been doing.
Oh, it's fucking relentless. It was stupid. But I calmed down in the last few hours, and I think I'm ready.
You're going to crash soon, definitely.
Well, not anytime soon, but...
Not anytime soon.
Well, there's no point. I'm too tired to be sleepy.
Oh, I see. Emo says, are they going to replace the Mounties with Israeli guerrilla soldiers? That would be weird. So, I guess I have two more things. Oregon victim of 35-year identity theft elated at arrest. Seattle. An Oregon man who was the victim of a 35-year-long identity theft said Thursday he's so happy about an arrest in the case that he could kiss the special agent who handled it. 35 years of identity fraud.
Okay. Oh.
Did you ever see that movie, The Net, with Sandra Bullock?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, they stole her identity and they framed her for some crazy murder thing, I think. But, you know, I can't imagine living life this way. And that how I would, you know, I would think that you would succumb to some sort of stress-related cancer. 35 years of identity theft. I can't believe this has finally come to a head after all these years. It's like I've been released from prison, Tom Lesh of Coos Bay told the Associated Press. Coos Bay. Coos. I was just talking to Special Agent Matt Lavelle, and I wanted to kiss him. Lesh, 66, says he's known since the 1970s that his brother's friend stole his identity, and he appealed to everyone from the IRS to the suspect's own mother for help to no avail. As the decades wore on, he said he spent thousands of hours writing letters to credit card companies, banks, insurance companies, and government agencies trying to clear his name. At one point, I thought about getting a hitman, but I worried that with my luck, they'd get the wrong Tom Lesh.
Fucked up.
Emo says he hasn't heard the word coos in years, and to him it always meant pussy. Coos, for me, I put coos and skank sort of on a par. Skank, it's all about this coos. I'm talking about a regular fuck machine. Morning, day, night, afternoon. Dick, 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 dick. That's a lot of dicks. No. How many dicks is that? A lot. I fucked it up.
Nine. That was.
That was Reservoir Dogs. Talking about Madonna like a virgin.
Ooh, you know what, Heidi?
What's up?
I'm sorry. I'm just going to... No. I mean, I'll hang out for a bit, but I'm just not very talkative.
Dear. That's quite all right.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't rely on you to speak.
No, not too much.
I noticed that you were not very talkative.
Yeah. I'm just feeling a bit mellow, I think. Just chilling. And I'll just listen.
Okay. Yeah, I don't really require anything from you.
No. Emo says, maybe you can let Heidi do a show this week. Well, that was my plan. I was going to wait until the third article in, but I kept getting banned from the chat room, Snikes.
Well.
Payback's a bitch, innit? Yeah.
Right, which is what I said.
Yeah.
But the whole thing was, he's bitter because of how many times he's been banned.
He shouldn't ask to be banned.
That's what I said. He asked to be banned.
Oh.
The first time, and that sort of got things...
I don't think I banned him after that.
You may have.
Well, I don't know.
I think you actually did, yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, here's that Madonna speech. Oh, you won't hear it anyway, right?
Yeah, I will do if I turn you up. One sec.
Mm-hmm.
Go on then.
K. Billy Super Sounds of the 70s Weekend.
No, wait.
What the fuck was I talking about? I said True Blue was about a guy, sensitive girl who meets a nice guy, but like a virgin with a metaphor for big dicks. Okay, let me tell you what like a virgin's about. It's all about this coos, who's a regular fuck machine. Now I'm talking morning, day, night, afternoon. Dick, 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 dick.
How many dicks is that?
A lot.
A lot. So one day, she meets this John Holmes motherfucker, and it's like, whoa, baby. I mean, this cat is like Charles Bronson in The Great Escape. He's digging tunnels. All right, now she's getting a serious dick action, and she's feeling something she ain't felt since forever. Pain. Pain.
Chew, Toby, chew.
It hurts. It hurts her. It shouldn't hurt. You know, her pussy should be bubble gum by now. But when this cat fucks her, it hurts. It hurts just like it did the first time. You see, the pain is reminding a fuck machine what it was once like to be a virgin.
Hence,
like a virgin.
Ah, yeah, so that's what I was referring to. Yeah. So that was really it with the story I just think 35 years of identity theft, I mean, who lives like that? How do you do anything? How do you not end up in jail yourself if someone else is, you know, running rampant with your identity? I don't know. I just don't know.
I think you should get Snarky to call in.
Well, you don't have to stay on.
No, I'm fine. I'm just hanging out and whatnot, but I think you should get him to call in anyway.
He's at work, he says.
Yeah, rubbish.
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 Jen
should call in. Everyone should call in.
You don't have to do that.
Well, no, I'm just saying. It would be good to hear of people for a bit as well.
I would like it if people would... I would like it if people would call the voicemail, too.
Yes.
Yeah, 631-576-4774.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't get a lot of voicemails. Recap something. Call in with your version of the Cockney Tony theme. How about that? Mm-hmm. How about everybody does that? Get your jingles on, my Negroes. But here's the scary part. Skype could be cut off for good.
Yeah, what was that? I saw Josh posted something like that.
Josh Gogan posted a link to this story on the Lunatic Radio message board, and I was quite shocked to read it. Skype might have to shut down because of a dispute over the core technology used to make the internet telephone system work. eBay, which paid $2.6 billion for the voice-over internet system in 2005, is facing a court battle with the original founders of the company, who retained the rights to the technology at the heart of the system. eBay admitted in a regulatory filing that it might have to close down the company. It said it was trying to develop alternative software, but if that did not work, or if eBay lost the right to the original software, Skype would be severely and adversely affected, and the continued operation of Skype's business as currently conducted would likely not be possible. Now, it's all well and good. I know there are other services. Skype's not the only game in town.
Hmm.
But,
They better sort it out. They better keep it. Otherwise, what are we going
to
do?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Skype's not the only game in town. We can go to another service. But I think, really, it's the best of its kind of application. And, you know, it would figure that with all the shit that I'm totally, like, idiotic with, technology-wise, Skype is one thing that I seem to have figured out, at least in part.
Yeah.
And to have gotten it working was like a major victory because, you know, we never did on Chaos.
Yeah.
You know, we dicked that around for the whole time that we did the show trying to figure out Skype. And I know other people who have yet to incorporate it into their show format, which is crazy to me because it's clearly the best thing. I mean, I was listening to the last show I posted with you on Skype. I guess I wasn't talking into the microphone directly, and it sounded like you were the one in the studio and like I was on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, crazy. The audio is so good.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
But it does make so much difference. I mean, when I listen back, as opposed to if I've like phoned in and left a message on my phone or whatnot.
Yeah.
It's just a lot fucking clearer, basically.
It's awesome.
Your hair looks really, really cool.
Thanks, man. Yeah, you know what it is? It's I put a lot of gel in it while it was wet, so it's got like that chunky look, and you can see the dark roots through.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. Thank you. Hopefully they work this out, but I mean, and as Deej points out, the trial isn't set until like June of next year. But, which, thank God, because, I mean, I paid them, like, a good deal of money, which I'm sure I wouldn't see back if they had to fold. So I would be out. The dispute also threatens eBay's plan to spin off Skype, scheduled for next year. Earlier this year, Skype filed a claim in London against Swedish company Jolted, which is controlled by Skype co-founders. Skype is seeking resolution on a dispute over a software licensing agreement between the parties that Jolted was seeking to terminate. In particular, Jolted has alleged that Skype should not possess, use, or modify certain software source code, and that by doing so and by disclosing such code in certain U.S. patent cases pursuant to orders from the U.S. courts, Skype has breached the license agreement, eBay said in the filing. Jolted brought a counterclaim, reiterating that it held the rights to the peer-to-peer technology and that Skype was in violation of the original agreement. A court hearing has been set for June 2010 in London.
Hmm. Interesting times.
Yeah, certainly.
Well, I hope Skype stays. It's good.
I hope it does too. I think it would be really fucked up if it didn't.
Yeah, I mean, well, they can't just like cancel it completely. They're going to have to put something in its place, some sort of version of it.
Yeah, well, I guess.
Go ahead. Go on. I'm on the free network on my phone, and that comes with Skype, and it guarantees you free Skype forever, like free calls forever.
Right.
So they can't be saying like that they promise you it if they. I mean, I know if it fucks up, it's different, but yeah, it's just a bit fucked. But Skype's lost a lot of money over the. It just didn't take off as much as what they thought it would. Did it?
I don't know that because I mean. You can buy Skype phones in the electronics stores. You know, it supposedly took off for people who have family overseas.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, it makes a lot of sense. Let's see, Skype, which started in 2002, allows users to make calls from their computers to landlines, mobile phones, and other computers. At its heart is key peer-to-peer technology created by its founders, who also created the file-sharing software Kazaa, and we know what the fuck happened with that shit.
Hmm.
That was, like, the worst place for, you know,
viruses
getting busted for file-sharing.
Hmm.
And fucking full of viruses, too, on top of it. The service has continued to grow rapidly. The unit's revenue increased 25% during the second quarter from the previous year. So they did well. To $170 million, according to eBay's results earlier this month. It added that 37.3 million users, bringing its total number of registered users to 480.5 million, making it the most widely used international calling system in the world.
So yeah, it'd be shit if they go. I thought they lost money. Maybe not.
No,
maybe
I
was ill-informed.
Perhaps. I mean, they may. No, it sounds like they didn't lose money. Lost money. Oh, well. Yeah, I guess that's. About it there.
You about done?
Yeah, I think so.
What you got to do after? Caught something before you said you got to do something.
But yeah, supposedly, because my kid was supposed to be coming home from, she was in Jersey today going to Great Adventure theme park.
Yeah.
And the mom told me figure around 9 o'clock to pick her up. Okay. So to be honest with you, I thought I was going to be on for an hour and get a phone call and be like, whoops, sorry guys, got to go.
Right, okay.
You know? But I haven't heard anything, and I texted her, and she hasn't texted me back.
Did you like the that Splintered movie thing?
Yes.
How cool is that?
Well, you know, it's. I have to be honest that the movie itself isn't my type of thing. But if that's the guy who's doing the promo video for the Zombie Aid, then that's definitely fucking really cool because it definitely has like that dark, you know, like.
Yeah,
creepy-ass mood to it.
But it's weird because, I mean, I won't be able to actually go to the Zombie Aid 2, the next one.
Oh.
Because hopefully I'll be on a plane then. Cause it happened on the 1st November on a Sunday.
I'm sorry that you'd have to miss it, but I certainly hope that you do.
Oh, it's fine. Oh, yeah. I was chatting to the guy, Carl, and he was all like, yeah, I definitely want you to come down and get you in the vid for the promo and whatnot. So as soon as I hear anything, I'll let you know, and yeah, it'll be cool.
Right on. So the last thing I'll say is this. I did not watch EastEnders last week.
Oh.
It's on my DVR, though. But then last night, I don't know what happened because I was watching a movie on demand.
What movie?
Do you know what that is on demand? Like we have cable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I was watching a movie on demand, and it was In Bruges, which I don't know if you've seen.
Oh, right. No, I haven't seen it. Is it any good?
So good, and I'm not a Colin Farrell fan at all, and I loved him in it.
Is he the hitman?
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
It was really like seriously, you know. I thought the movie looked good, despite the fact that he was in it. Because as I said, I'm not a fan of his.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I like it when that happens too. When someone that you're so skeptical about and not sold on manages to win you over.
Yeah.
Without any expectations. It was so good. Such a good story. So funny. Like you would totally get the humor of it and appreciate it.
Cool. I'll have to look out for that one.
Yeah, really good. But here is my concern because during the time that EastEnders would be on, I was watching a movie on demand. Now, the question is, would the fact that I was watching a movie on demand have an effect on what I'm able to record on my cable box?
Oh, I have no idea.
Uh-huh. Because sometimes on Friday nights, they pull old switcheroo, and they don't show EastEnders.
Scumbags.
Yeah. So like, you tune in for your EastEnders, and they're showing some other shit. But I don't know if that happened or not last night because it didn't fucking record it. But I still have two episodes from last week to watch, so that's good stuff.
How many is there a week? How many?
Two episodes. Every Friday night they play two back-to-back episodes.
So basically you're never going to catch up.
Right, exactly.
Because like, it's on like four times a week.
Exactly, you're never going to catch up.
No, I haven't been watching Mock the Week emo. Sorry. I think I might have seen a bit of it last night, actually. Yeah, in fact, I saw a little bit of it last night. But it was, like, during the beginning of the party, so...
Oh, yes, and you have been partying like a maniac.
Yeah.
Somebody fell off the, I'm not partying wagon in a big way.
Oh, yes. Well, I nearly did a month. I told myself I was going to give myself a month when drinking and smoking and whatnot.
And you went almost nothing to snorting vodka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they started putting chili powder in the vodka as well. And I didn't do that.
Well, that wouldn't be good to snort.
Well, no. It's ridiculous. You'll see the videos. I'll put them up on YouTube and
all right, I'll check them out.
And I'll send you links and stuff.
All right, well, I'm going to play us out here with a little EastEnders, and I'll let you go.
All right.
My dear.
Well, you have a good night.
Thanks, and thanks for joining me on the show once again. Thanks for listening to The Heidi Show, everybody. Good night.
WonderBros.com.
WonderBros!
Yeah, I'll snipe these.
Palo Alto says, Nick Cassavetes apparently directed My Sister's Keeper. Is that right? And I don't know. Schneikes is loving you.
I know. What's not to love?
Oh, and Mr. Deitch says yes, he did. All right, Cockney, I'm going to hang up on you now.
Okay, honey. Thank you soon.
Get your rest. Bye.
Bye.
This was such a tame show. Emo Tony B, I shared a bowl of weed today with someone that is HIV positive. You can't get that shit from saliva. Is that what you're saying? Can you? No, you cannot. No, I mean if they had a cut on their lip and it got on the bowl, and then you had a cut on your lip or in your mouth and got in your mouth, then something. But you know, here's the trick, really. If you smoke out of a glass bowl, you can just burn that shit off.
Wood bowl.
Right, Schneikes, or if that person peed in your mouth. Right. Bye, Palo Alto. I went and unblocked Palo Alto after last week's show and apologized for their accidental banning due to that fuckwad flaming my chat room. I know. It wasn't your fault. I just want to thank everybody for listening, and I realize this was a very low-key show. But it's okay if it was low-key, because everybody wants to lay back so tight. Thank you, EastEnders. Thank you. Emo Tony B says, The Heidi Show, Thorazine edition. Wow, that scared me. My own hand just scared me. I saw some thing, like, moving in from the edge of the screen. Night Deej, he's off to watch another classic 80s movie. Excellent! And I'll have to report back on my Akira Kurosawa viewing. And hopefully I'll finish, Dead Until Dark soon, and then I can move on to reading Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. Everybody, check it out. Fucking awesome. And this dude, Seth Graham Smith, has done a great job of inserting the zombies into the classic tale. Yes. So thank you all for listening. I guess I'm going to go. I guess I could not go, but does it say who the artist is? I'm sure it must. And let me put some music on in the meantime. Oh, actually, I could play another Pat Dixon bit. That's pretty funny stuff, that Pat Dixon. Not a fan of his. Oh, this is good.
What about you ladies? What do you guys want? Anybody here work at the bank? Any women here?
Right here.
Really? I always wanted to fuck some girl that works at the bank. Get some of that high class bank pussy. It smells like money.
So, Schneikes left the room, but Schneikes, yeah, it's cover zombification and design by Doogie Horner, D-O-O-G-I-H-O-R-N-E-R, Doogie Horner. Perhaps you know him, but I guess you're not listening because you left the room before I could answer your question. Bummer. It could have been that Schneikes went to see if he could find out for himself who the artist was and accidentally left the room. Because God knows I've done that enough times. Yeah, I guess there doesn't seem to be a lot of fervor for me to continue the show. So I guess...
When you're dealing with a store like this, they're insured up the ass. They're not supposed to give you any resistance whatsoever. If you get a customer or an employee who thinks he's Charles Bronson, take the butt of your...
Hello?
Hello.
What's going on?
You need to do after a little hour of it.
Yeah, all right.
You just play shitty 80s tunes.
Yeah, I was going to pretty much do that.
Yeah. I'd be... hassling in chat to stay on for a bit, but I can't because I can't sign in anymore.
I'll unblock you.
Okay. And then I'll sign back in.
Okay. Well, oh, right. Yeah. You want me to do that now? Okay.
Yeah, okay, cool.
All right, bye.
Okay, bye.
So, yeah, I was going to probably play some music, actually. Because I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard from my kids, so I don't know what the deal is.
Drops him right to the floor. Everyone jumps. He falls down screaming, blood squirts out of his nose. Freaks everybody out. Nobody says fucking shit after that. You might get some bitch talk shit to you. But give her a look like you're going to smash her in the face next. Watch her shut the fuck up. Now, if it's a manager, that's a different story. The managers know better than to fuck around. So if you get one that's giving you static, he probably thinks he's a real cowboy. So you got to break that son of a bitch in two. If you want to know something he won't tell you, cut off one of his fingers. The little one. Then tell him his thumb's next. After that, he'll tell you if he wears ladies' underwear. I'm hungry. Let's get a taco.
He was born a fool for love. What he wouldn't do.
Joe Egan and Jerry Rafferty were a duo known as Steeler's Wheel when they recorded this Dylan-esque pop bubblegum favorite from April of 1974. That reached up to number 5 as K. Billy Super Sounds of the 70s continues.
Oh my. So, it's never as easy as I think it's going to be. I thought it would be so easy, but it never is. Ugh, God.
Go ahead, baby.
The jingling baby.
Yeah, do it, baby.
Can't believe you tried to get
this ain't Mike, it's me. Your grip's too weak, you can't hold it, B. You can dream of making progress and getting this nice, but when I roll up, it's like hip-hop vice. Serve the curves, I never swerve, I'm superb. Every word you heard played tricks on your nerves. Played your hand, lost track of your plan. When I show up, I blow up and destroy my man. Playing like a poker chip, that's what you get. I bet your friends sweat and regret your bet. The titan of fighting, excitement, writing your trifling toy boy. I got it in life, so start fighting. You know you can't create and get mean like this. When I'm on the court, you're strictly sweet. When it's all over, said and done, my friend. It's ALL Cool J just scored again. So take a step back, give me some room to rest up. Here's a choker back and getting off at the next stop. I'ma deliver and give a speech with vigor. Pass the wine cooler, you big black.
Go ahead, baby.
The jingling, baby.
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 Yeah, go ahead, baby.
The jingling, baby.
Go ahead, baby.
The jingling, baby.
Go ahead, baby.
And you say New York City. And you say New York City. And you say New York City.
Silly that I didn't have more beer ready.
Play this record as frequently as possible. Then, as it becomes easier for you, play the record once a day or as needed.
Oh,
Most Sadies, the mellow, quite a nice fellow. Met 3T, hit a rhyme, acapella. They had the rhythm and I had the rhyme. So then I hit it that one more time. It worked out and then they worked it in. Tony has done it again.
Feels good. Yeah. It feels good.
I think you did mention that, Cockney, Joe Rogan playing Manchester in November. You've had your picture taken with him, haven't you? I love Joe Rogan. Are you going to be there for that, or are you going to be here for that? Cool. Joe Rogan played Caroline's, and I didn't get there for it, but I was definitely interested. Because I like him quite a bit. Truth be told. He's great on the Opie and Anthony show, too. Does good radio. Got a lot to say. He's got a lot to say. A pretty good website, too, I think. I love this song. TV show songs? Oh, now the text message comes in. Let's see what she has to say for herself. They're at Applebee's. What are they? At Applebee's having twofers? What the fuck? Yeah, Emo left. I don't think he even said goodbye. All right, I will. This is I don't know if you guys know what this is. It's the theme song from the TV show Webster.
You that came, you made me leap without taking a look. I never thought forever was the best I could do. It's the Cockney, Cockney Tony. He's British and full of baloney. It's the Cockney, Cockney Tony. He takes pills up his butt.
You like that? I like it. It's kind of a modified version of Copacabana. He takes pills up his butt. I love it when Rooster sings to me. I think it's like the greatest thing ever. Oh no, I lost my connection. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Yeah, I guess so. No, I got kicked out. As you can see, we're alone now. I think we're alone now. There doesn't seem to be anyone around. I think we're alone now. The beating of our hearts is the only sound. Look at the way they got an eye on what we're doing. You loved her. My kid is like all guilty. Like, I know it's weird that I'm at Applebee's. I'm sorry. Yeah, Tiffany, that song I loved. But, you know, I gotta be honest, I think there was only, like, one other song that she got radio play with. We really are alone. It's just the two of us. Hello.
Hello. Well, she had some others, didn't she? She had the Radio Romance one. That was one. Radio, I mean, it was all off the same album.
Right. I just think maybe you guys got more releases there than we did.
Right.
They release different songs and, you know, depending on...
That could have been as well, I think, was the other one that got released.
I know there was probably at least one other Tiffany song that I know well, but for some reason I can't think of what it would be.
Yeah. Weren't you married to, like, one New Kids on the Block or something at some point?
I think so, and didn't she, like, pose nude also?
For Playboy, yeah. I remember, like, really wanting that edition really fucking bad, but I was, like, too young then, probably too embarrassed to go in the shop and buy it or try to purchase it or whatever, but I never got it.
Right.
I thought if I look now, I could find them online, but...
And then, like, was Debbie Gibson big there?
Yeah, she was. She's huge now, you
like
know.
Around the same time. Oh, yeah, she's huge in Britain now?
Well, not for her, is it Debbie Gibson? Not as an artist, but as a songwriter.
Oh,
is it Debbie Gibson I'm thinking of?
Probably. She goes by Deborah Gibson now. She was on Broadway. Yeah. She sang on Broadway here.
Okay.
And yeah, I think she's got. I think she's like really prolific. She probably does write songs. Yeah.
Who was it? Did you ask in the last show about someone? What are they doing now? I think. Oh, I can't remember. Oh.
Last show? You mean the last show I posted, or the last show like last week?
To be honest with you, Heidi, I'm not 100% sure. To be honest.
Okay. No, I only asked because last week's show, I probably don't remember any of them. Oh, my... Well, that can't really be Heather the Lesbian. It could be anybody saying they're Heather the Lesbian.
Right.
She says it's her.
Prove it.
No. Proof. I demand proof. I like
Ask
that,
her
though.
Ask a question, only she'll know.
Because, you know, she's almost like a... Like
a staple of the show.
Yeah, she's a staple. She's a repeating character.
Got to call in.
Well, I kind of no. That's all right. I don't want to have her call in now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So yeah, I'm quite surprised how laid back I feel, to be honest. But I'm trying to keep my voice down as well after the flood incident. I don't want to piss anyone else off and whatnot. I mean, it wasn't my fault, you know.
Of course.
I can't believe you fucking left the taps on, the cunt, though.
No, it wasn't your fault, but it's created a certain mood of tension in the house that you have to...
Oh, no, well, sort of, but, you know, I just don't... I mean, I don't like getting on the wrong side of my housemates anyway, I mean...
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you're not disturbing them now.
No, I've kept my voice quite low all night.
I think so.
Yeah.
You're not, well, usually when you really drink, you get kind of out of control.
Mm. Well, I mean, I started drinking yesterday probably about 4 in the afternoon. And then my mates, like, came round, and then as soon as they got here, they had a bag of MDMA, so we had a few, like, bombs of that. Mm-hmm. And then my other mate turned up, Freya, and she had some pills with her, about 2 pills.
Like, what kind of pills?
Ecstasy.
Oh.
So, I mean, no, they were really nice, actually. Just a nice, pleasant, you know, ecstasy buzz going on. So that was good. And then we went back to Freya's house and we phoned the ketamine man up. Savage, he's called. Because it's fucking savage ketamine.
You should have a movie made.
Yeah. And then we went and met him near the train station. He dropped, we got 2 grams and we just fucking bossed our way through them in about an hour and went off to do Lally Land for a bit. And then just basically drinking and whatnot. And then I'm surprised I'm totally coherent, to be honest with you.
I know, you totally are. But, it's like you plateaued.
Yeah, basically drunk myself sober.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Mm.
I'm not, you know, a big fucking wreckhead by any stretch of imagination.
You've told me that before, and yet you bedazzle me with your drug use.
I have moments. Yeah. It's all controlled. Yes. No. It's all good. No, I don't want you getting the wrong idea of me or whatnot.
I see. I noticed that you don't want me getting the wrong idea. I think it's funny that you throw out those disclaimers. That's what's funny about it.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Only probably about 90 days now. 90 days. Tick-tock.
So I'm really, really excited about this zombie book.
Mm.
Like, really.
Yeah, what is it?
It's just Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen.
Yeah.
It is Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah.
But then this guy, Seth Graham Smith, has made these minor tweaks to turn it into a zombie story.
Okay, so now and again, it'll be like the same storyline of Pride and Prejudice, but then there'll be zombies chucked in.
Zombies chucked in. Yeah. So here's the first paragraph of chapter 1. It is a truth universally acknowledged that a zombie in possession of brains must be in want of more brains. Never was this truth more plain than during the recent attacks at Netherfield Park, in which a household of 18 was slaughtered and consumed by a horde of the living dead. Now, if that isn't an opener...
It sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, and then there's like a little cutout of one of the illustrations I don't know if you're looking at the video or not, but wait this way. You see it? So it says, a few of the guests who had the misfortune of being too near the windows were seized and feasted on at once.
Mm-hmm. It sounds pretty cool.
I think so. And plus it's got, you know, it's the refined writing of Jane Austen, which actually is pretty compelling reading. It carries you through.
Yeah, with a nice, I've almost said lesbian twist, because I'm looking at Heather the Lesbian in chat, just her name.
So you got lesbian.
But with a nice zombie twist.
Yes, a nice zombie twist, indeed.
Yeah. Well, the whole zombie thing seems to be blowing up at the moment.
I'll say.
It's ace. I can't wait to hear back from that guy, though, about when he wants us to go down and do that, because I'm going to take Rebecca down with me.
Oh, awesome.
A couple of her mates, and he wants about 8 kids for the storyline he's got. So, yeah, it's going to be...
You're the connection on the kids. Yeah. I can get you kids.
I supply the kids, yo.
I can get you kids wholesale.
He keeps trying to update. My old mate updates. Keeps asking me to. No. Okay.
Yeah.
It's weird, you know. I can't stand speaking on phones, like, to my friends and that. I get just really uncomfortable.
You're not a hang out on the phone kind of guy.
No, but I don't mind it on here. It's, I think it's because I can see you. I know you can't see me, but...
That's all right. I know what you look like.
Yes.
I seen your shit.
Oh, no, you haven't seen me since I buzzed my head.
Oh, yeah, like, I can't believe you did that.
I'm leaving it to grow back a bit now, because I'm not happy with it. I'm just receding too much, and it's just very noticeable, and it's sort of rubbish. So
it's more noticeable with it buzzed than with it longer.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I mean, it's not, like, right to the back of my head or anything, but, you know, it's going.
Yeah, well, it happens.
Well, that's what you get for having long hair for, like, 15 years.
Okay, take care, Heather. I'm sorry you missed the show proper. This is after show.
Good night, Heather.
Have fun with your girl.
Bye. Enjoy the movie.
I wish I had a girlfriend. Yeah, this is... look who's here.
Kiss.
Yeah, it's the after show. This shit's over. Oh, good night, Heather.
So, have you... come any closer to watching any more of them, my recommendations, since you loved Pete Tong?
No, because I'm on my Akira Kurosawa marathon right now.
Oh, okay.
It's very important to me.
No. Yeah. That's what we are doing.
Yeah. That is what we're doing. Plus, except cheaper than if he was on the fucking phone. It's not the show.
Oh, I see what you mean.
What is he's just bitching?
I don't know.
He's bitching because it's just me and you talking?
Well, Chris should phone in.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris. Phone in. Dude, that's my
part.
Oh, look at that. Is this the AR Dance City Room? Yes, my friend. Yes, it is. You have entered the AR Dance City. Indeed. You just missed Heather the Lesbian.
Do you think that was her?
Yeah.
Yeah? Alright, cool. Well, she should, come back more.
I know, I hope she... You know, I think what happens is that she's... She's usually just not available during the showtime.
Right. Well, did you have a voicemail of her?
Not this week.
Right.
Last week, yeah.
Well, did you have an email you read out? Or?
Yeah, I read an email from her before.
Right, okay. Well, I think that was when I was setting up my computer in here. Because this is the one that my Skype works on.
Oh, right. Chris wants to hear Get the Funk Out My Face.
Get the Funk Out, Get the Funk Out. I don't know it.
Get the Funk Out My Face. Dude, that's my bike. Said to Heather the Lesbian leaving, she had to go do stuff with her arms.
And her legs. Get the Oh, funny thing about Beat Herder, I don't know if I told you this bit, but when Emma was, she was twatted,
yeah.
And she thought, yeah, I'll just introduce myself to new people, and she just went up to, like, random strangers and everything, fucked off her head, and said, hi, I'm Emma, I'm a girl, and that was her intro to him. It's funny. I just remembered that the other day.
How's she feeling? She doesn't have swine flu, does she?
No, she's fine, but apparently a few more have gone off work. There's about 6 or 7 now off work room in the same building she
worked
in.
Oh my god, that's scary.
Yeah.
I hope she doesn't get it.
Well, yeah. If she does, she's going to have to live in a tent in the garden.
An attendant in the garden?
Well, yeah, I mean, if she gets swine flu, she can't go and work, so she's going to have to stay in the house. So I'm not fucking coughing all over the place.
No.
That's the last thing I want to get, swine flu.
Show started at 2.5 hours ago.
It was a very quick show today.
Well, I mean, the show is only supposed to be about 2 hours long.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe, yeah.
You know, that's the intent, but for some reason it always seems to go, like, over 4.
You blow your load too soon is what you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of editing time.
Yeah, Cockney adds 8 hours, Chris says.
Not tonight.
No, not tonight.
Well, not so much I couldn't be arsed talking or whatever, I just...
No, it's okay. I mean...
Tired?
Yeah. Look, I don't always want to do the show. I was exhausted today. Exhausted. It was like I couldn't... I felt like I had sleeping sickness. Like, I couldn't fucking control it. Crazy.
You can do that fantasy football thing.
Use this energy.
I'm sorry, what? Sorry, that's super loud.
What?
I'm sorry, I had a problem. I had an audio issue.
Okay. Are you going to do the fantasy football thing? Chris joined.
Oh,
Marley.
Yeah, I said I would do it, right? I should get on that.
Yeah, have you still got the link? Or do you need me to resend it?
No, sir, I have it.
Yeah. You should, it's just cool, it'll be interesting. Well, no, Chris, my mate Phil joined as well. But Chris, you get people to join. I just want Americans to beat. Yeah.
You just want Americans to beat. Oh, is that, well, if that's how you're going to look at it. Well, you originally said that there's like 20.
Well, yeah, in the other league, like the main league. But I just thought I'd start one up because I put the post on Lunatic Radio Board. And I was hoping that someone might join it from the board who was into soccer or whatever. And then, like, I was just going to have my league with me internet people and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then me have a league from a real friends, so to speak.
Oh, so you've got a separate league that actually has people in it.
Yeah. I mean, if no one joins my league, then I'll give Chris the code for the other league and whatnot. And then he can just join in that one. It'll probably be better if you can do that anyway.
Right. Dude, That's My Bike says he just got back from photographing a skateboard competition just so that we can all sleep better tonight knowing that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's cool. I don't know. Have you been to wonderbros.com?
Yes.
And seen the skate park photos?
I have done. I left him a comment on one of their photos about Simon. I can't remember what I said or whatnot. But, I'll check it out now and again. I like having a little look about.
So, well, I look forward to seeing these new skate pictures posted because those are some pretty cool fucking pictures.
Cool.
So, yeah. All right, well, I hate to fucking pull the plug on you guys, but...
No, that's cool.
I'm out of juice myself here.
Okay. The Hoot and Greenway show, that's on tonight, isn't it?
Believe so.
Yeah, I might try and find them.
Do that.
Yes. I tried last time when Chris said, But I couldn't find them for whatever reason. I don't know.
You couldn't find them. So, but you found like their site or where they would normally broadcast, but they just weren't there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe they just weren't on.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris says go to cringehumorradio.com.
Yeah, I'll try that. Okay. Say good night.
Good night, Bubba.
Night night.
So, yeah, I guess that's it. The kid should be home soon. She's getting dropped off, so. I'm going to bid you all adieu, you all, the two of you, and thanks for showing up. Talk to you soon. Bye.